Howdy do, buggeries. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, November 15th, 2019, or as I like to think of it, birthday eve. For people playing along at home, why, yes, as a matter of fact, I am the person who's kind of excited to wear the sombrero in the Mexican restaurant on my birthday. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today to celebrate such an auspicious occasion, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Welcome to Female Friday on the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. It's good to be here.
It is good to be here. I'm really glad to be here with you, and I'm glad the two of us are going to have a chance to chat. And part of the reason I'm glad of that is because I know we have at least one listener who's going to be kind of super jazzed about it. So hi, Rich. So the thing I want to talk about first is subscriber numbers. We've had a little news on subscriber numbers lately, and you broke that down for us over on the site.
Well, there's a few different elements going on. First of all, we saw not so long ago, well, let's start at the beginning. This week, Disney Plus launched. That's yes. The first place to start. And it did pretty well on its first week. It surpassed, apparently, 10 million subscribers on the first day. Mm-hmm. The app was downloaded, apparently, 3.2 million times. Mm-hmm. Not bad going.
Yeah, and the thing I wonder about that number, because I didn't see anybody post a lot of breakdowns about it, is how many of those people were the freebie folks from Verizon, and sure. How many of those folks were I don't remember what they're calling it. It's like Founders Circle or something, where yeah. If you pay for 3 years up front, it's like half the price of $7 a month. You get it for like $3 a month instead or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of those people were people who signed up once it launched, or how many of those were people that were just sort of waiting, kind of like me. So,
yeah, but I suspect Disney's going to be kind of vague about it, and that's, you know, that's kind of how course. These things operate, and that's fine. The important thing is they have eyeballs.
Yes,
and that's really, and at this stage with all these new services, that's all it comes down to. So we're kind of, so that's where Disney Plus is. That, I think you could probably say, is a good first week for Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
10 million subscribers. Thank you very much. We then got some news emerging about Apple Bundle. We've talked about it many, many times on this show.
Yes.
We want a bundle. We mm-hmm. want to be able to have one payment every month for services like TV Plus, Music, and News Plus.
Yes.
And apparently, according to sources told Bloomberg News, that we could expect that in 2020.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'm hopeful about it. It seems the most logical thing to happen. I would bear in mind, and I say this in the piece, that in October, the Financial Times reported that the music labels were a little bit uncomfortable. They weren't necessarily happy about this, but the talks were kind of at an early stage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things, they didn't like the idea of an iPod at the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
they
yeah.
didn't like 99p songs, 99 yeah. cent songs. So, you know, let's give it some time.
But, yeah, but
anyway,
I'm also curious.
So the bundle
I'm interested
could be on
that-
its way.
I'm curious about the music labels being unhappy about this, because whenever there's like a royalty situation where, you know, like we've seen, was it Spotify that went to court to pay less?
Yeah.
Apple wasn't part of that. Apple's happy to pay yeah. artists on mm-hmm. Apple Music and stuff a higher rate than what other people are trying to negotiate into.
Yeah,
so
it
seems weird to me that it's the labels that are mad about this, and that it's not, you know, the newspapers or the magazines, you know, the publishing industry who's more upset about it, because we've seen some grumbling from them at the News Plus launch about like a couple of months in, they were sort of not jazzed about the kind of money they were making. So,
right. Well, that is a fantastic segue. It's almost like we planned this show, Kelly, because that's a fantastic segue into the next point that's linked to all this, because some other news has emerged that apparently there's basically been very few new subscribers to News Plus since 200,000 people signed up in the first 48 hours of the service going live.
Okay.
Huh. I mean, first of all, 200,000 people for Apple service isn't a huge amount.
No.
And even though the publishers are getting 50% of the revenue, that's not going to keep your newspaper afloat.
No.
So, there could be some issues there, and perhaps it's not surprising that Apple just wants to fold News Plus into a bundle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of less if it's not doing that well. The one thing I would say about this bundle, and again, we probably mentioned this before on the show, there's only one bit of this potential bundle that Apple owns kind of the whole way through, and that's obviously TV Plus.
Yes.
Because it owns the content, sort of owns the content, owns the means of production, it owns everything. It's even starting its own studio. Like, TV Plus is Apple's baby.
Yes.
From start to finish, it's all original content. Whereas News Plus and music, they're relying on everyone else.
And Arcade's sort of a middle ground, I would venture, because like other people develop, that's in conjunction with Apple. So,
yeah. Now, haven't we said that the developers often now say they're working for Apple? I feel like we've had that conversation. Like, I feel that's kind of come out.
We sort of touched on it.
Are exclusive only to Arcade.
Right. Yeah, there is stuff that's specific to Arcade. Right now, that's all it has, if I'm not mistaken, is just... Correct. Like, the games that are in Apple Arcade Plus, you cannot get anywhere else. They're only available in Arcade. So that's kind of in between, because Apple... I don't know what the terms are on those deals, honestly. But yeah, they are exclusively on Apple Plus. And those folks, I don't think those folks are Apple employees, but they're basically doing the work for Apple alone. So
right, exactly. Yeah. So that's the middle ground. So you could basically, this is a long way of us saying, you can easily see a way that TV Plus and Arcade fits into a bundle. That's not very complicated.
Not at all.
It is more complicated to get News Plus and music into a bundle.
Well, maybe, because then, see, it becomes a numbers game on the back end, in my opinion. So where the thing they give away, for like 15 bucks a month, let's say, okay, because it's five for Arcade, five for Arcade, 10 for News Plus.
10 for News Plus, 10 for TV.
And then 10 for TV.
No, sorry, 5 for TV.
5 for TV, okay. So the three of them would be $20 a month if you were paying list, we'll say, right? So if they could make it 15 bucks a month, but 10 of that was still News Plus, and they could kind of turn TV Plus into a gimme on their books, like, we're just going to give it away for a while and see how that works until we can make better deals with publishers or something. Right. But I mean, like, on their side, like, we're just going to make, we're going to make the TV Plus part the freebie so that, you know, it's buy two, get one free. And then maybe more people will sign up for News Plus, you know, because they think that's the one they're getting for free or whatever. And if you can change the perception on that a little bit, because we talked about that before, how News Plus is twice as much as the fun thing, so it's like the vegetables of Apple's services.
Yeah, except that doesn't quite work, because actually I think Arcade is going to be the thing that's separate. The bundle people are talking about really involves music, which is $9.99, News Plus, also $9.99, and TV Plus. Now, Arcade may also be included in there. Mm-hmm. You might get all four.
Okay.
But the story I read and referred to actually was talking about the first three. Arcade wasn't part of that conversation, as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
Now,
interesting.
It would surprise me to leave one dangling on the side.
Yeah.
It would seem odd to me, but it's not inconceivable.
I feel like there's like a two bundle situation here, right? Like, maybe you can swap out one for the other or something.
Well, we said, this is what we said when we first heard rumors of the different services, wasn't it? And then we were like, what do you get? A pick and mix?
Yeah.
And it gets messy. It gets very un-Apple. And we're kind of back to the beginning. So I think it's going to be, Yeah, I don't know. I think I can see them trying to make it as simplified and having as few variants as possible.
Yeah, I do like the pick a mix idea.
That's why it won't happen.
Yeah, if you support one, like if you want one service, it's $10 a month. If you want two, it's 15. If you want three, it's 25. You know, or whatever. Like figuring out how to put those together. Because you're basically going to have to make one of the $5 ones free in order for people to do it, to feel like they're getting any value. So that's the thing I wonder about. And it would be,
you really have a right to give away for free is TV Plus.
Exactly. And it's one that they are giving away for free to some people.
It's the most expensive one.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive thing to produce.
Well, for Apple, yeah. So, but some of that stuff, like once it's not one-off anymore, like once they have their own studio, you know, then they don't have that expense once they've got, you know, people on the payroll, that kind of thing. So I'm interested to see where the bundle conversation ends up. We've seen a little bit of that with Disney Plus now, because Disney Plus is offering a deal with Hulu, and they're offering a deal with ESPN Plus as well. Everything's going to be Plus by the time we're done with all of this, because everybody's decided that's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
So,
Apart from HBO, because that's Max.
Oh, yeah. You stole my joke. I was going to call it HBO Jeff. So HBO Jim is the one that's coming next. So I want to know what kind of shape this is going to take, because I think Disney's staring down their own headache of options. Like, there's multiple pricing tiers of Hulu, and how do you try to get people to sort of slide Disney Plus into that? And if you're going to give away ESPN Plus to do this other thing... it's nice that there's a lot of choice, but I feel like there's a whole lot of work that's kind of put on consumers at that point. So
yeah, and I think Apple wants to actively avoid that.
Yeah,
and I think it's done that actually very well, particularly with TV Plus.
Yeah, well, and right now they're just sort of avoiding the whole thing, because they're just saying, you know, Apple Arcade is $5 a month, but for you, $5 a month, and you know, like you get the only one that I know for certain is that. You can get a bit of a deal if you pay for a year of Apple Music at a time. That's the one I know for sure. Because I don't think... Does News Plus have a yearly option that you can use?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Just on the subscriber numbers, I'm slightly staggered how poor the numbers are for News Plus. As you know, I quite like News Plus. I think it's good. I like the magazines on it. Actually, side note... The worst presented magazines on News Plus are the Mac magazines. Like,
wow.
There are a host of Mac magazines that I subscribe to on there that I want to read, and they're the ones that are presented the worst. Things like Grazia and Elle and, you know, Vanity Fair and Variety and all those kind of things look beautiful.
Huh.
The tech magazines look terrible anyway.
It's fascinating to me, because you would think a technology magazine might know some technology people who could maybe help them make that be a good experience.
You have to zoom into the it looks really old fashioned. It just looks like it basically is what everyone feared, that it would be a PDF on your phone.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the other magazines that I named are all properly designed and mobile and lovely. Some of these magazines are just like, here's a PDF. Yes, but I was really shocked. But anyway, I'm still quite a big fan of News Plus.
Yeah. It turns out you're one of the few, which I was surprised about, honestly.
Yeah, I am surprised. But I guess people feel they have enough new subscriptions. They buy the magazines they want. Not everyone is addicted to magazines as I am. I get it.
Or news in general, because you can just sort of set, you know, websites and stuff to give you notifications instead. So people feel like they're probably getting all the news they need. Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. It is an interesting topic. We will, of course, be talking about this more as we get more numbers from other people, which is always an interesting discussion, particularly as Apple tries to evolve into a media company. So
anyway, Bob Iger is going to be having a nice weekend this weekend, I think, is what we can say in summary.
there's a new episode of The Mandalorian out for people who are into that sort of thing, people like Kelly.
Oh, it's Morning Show Friday, isn't it?
It is, in fact, Morning Show Friday.
Very good.
Or Mandalorian Friday, as I've been calling it, because, I'm totally watching The Mandalorian. I'm watching it so hard. Anyway, welcome to Welcome to the streaming service review podcast with Charlotte and Kelly. Our other topic today, though, I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to shift gears a tiny bit, and that is security, because there's a fundamental change coming to iOS, according to the betas, that's going to make iOS devices more secure.
Yeah, Kate O'Flaherty, a senior contributor over at Forbes, a cybersecurity journalist, pointed out that in the second developer beta of iOS 13.3, there is support for NFC, USB, and Lightning FIDO 2 compliant security keys in Safari, which is going to make a lot of people happy. Now, what this means is when you'll be able to use physical security keys, that means things like YubiKey's iPhone, the YubiKey 5CA1, which is iPhone compatible, with Safari. So that's going to make, I think, make people very happy.
And first of all, so for people who maybe aren't clear what this is, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, so as I understand it, obviously some people, and I'm one of these people, use password managers, digital password managers.
Yes.
That, or you can use the keychain in your phone or computer that store all your passwords. There are also physical devices, which one, as this suggests, using using technology like NFC, which is the kind of thing you use to pay, USB and Lightning FIDO 2 stuff. Cool. And you can, but at the moment, that's not compliant on Safari on an iOS device. But it looks like that is going to work on 13.3. So you're going to be able to use one of those devices to log in and to services on your iPhone.
Cool.
And now I'm going to have a security expert tell me how bad my explanation was.
We do look forward to your letters. Because we want it to be right, is what's happening. But basically, like, if you have been a person who uses one of these, you know that what limited experience I have with them is you have sort of like a flash drive, and you plug it inside of your computer, and the hardware piece of it is a thing that you have to have, and then you plug it in, and then you also have to have a password that sort of makes that device usable when you plug it into your computer, and then you're allowed access to more secure things. So if you know people who work with very secure data, I've seen them issued for people doing stuff with banks, like financial information. That's where I've seen a lot of them. I've also seen people who just work in corporate environments with lots of confidential data, and they have to have them too. And it's just sort of a thing that you use to make extra super sure that somebody is who they say they are when they're trying to log into stuff and access things, you know, across the network when they are not necessarily inside the network. This is a good way to make sure that you're adding an extra layer of validation to what those people, who those people are, and making sure that what they're doing is sort of, you know, sanctioned. So I can't tell you a whole lot about it either, except that I think it's really nice that this is something that's finally coming to iOS as a thing that's being supported.
Yeah, it's clearly a security upgrade. I mean, in the piece I linked to on Forbes, a security researcher called Sean Wright described the development as fantastic. He said, keys are a rare case in security where a good mechanism comes with something that's easy to use. They represent a desire to move forward from password-based authentication that is often more secure as well as hopefully more user-friendly.
Yeah.
So it can sound more complicated, but obviously in some ways it's better because you don't have to, you know, worry about remembering a password. You don't have to do that thing where you're like, oh, I can't be bothered to think of a new password. I'm going to use the same one for everything.
But I'm going to put a one at the end of it to make it secure. Yeah.
Oh, look, here's my birthday. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So mine's totally secure because it's my birthday backwards. Right. Like, yeah.
Right. In the same way that Face ID is more secure than your passcode. Mm-hmm. Like obviously, physical stuff you can lose, but it's more, it has a lot of security benefits having physical stuff, and Apple is now integrating that into iOS 13.3, it looks like.
Which is great. I'm excited to see it because this is another, to me, this is another step in Apple taking this stuff more seriously. And understanding that their mobile devices are completely valid devices for people to be doing actual work on. Because we've heard iPad is only for consumption, like, since the minute it debuted. And, well, like, 10 minutes after it debuted, because everybody said that's a really stupid name for, like, 10 minutes. And then they went, well, nobody can actually do anything with this device. So, right. After that, it just became, it's just for consumption. It's not a real computer. It's not any of these things. So, as these machines have gotten more powerful, and as they've turned into things where you can free people from desks and free people from... you know, having to have a whole entire setup, and somebody can be on the go and out and about somewhere and be able to manage something that's happening remotely. It's really nice to have some of the security stuff around that, because it tells me that Apple is taking this stuff seriously too. And it matters to them that people can do what they need to do with their devices. And I think this is, this folds in nicely with Brian's stance lately about how Apple's caring about the Mac again. I think also Apple's caring about users again, and has started to take some feedback from people, like, I need an actual escape key, because the new laptop has an escape key, and you know, people had some very strong opinions, we'll say, about the butterfly keyboard, and the butterfly keyboard is gone now. And
hi, Joanna Stan.
I think it's absolutely, I mean, yeah, the butterfly keyboard was a terrible idea. We'll talk about that another time.
Hi, Joanna Stan.
the user experience is something that Apple is actually considering now, instead of just, wouldn't it be great if, like, they're actually getting feedback from people, because a lot of people apparently showed a demonstrated need for an escape key, and now there's an actual escape key on the touch bar. So
I think there's another element to this we should also discuss quickly, which is, presumably, if you can have this kind of security measure, it means your devices are more appropriate to be used at a corporate level in secure industries, or industries that require this level of security.
Yeah. So there's probably a lot of people on non-Apple devices who can now be on Apple devices.
Potentially. I genuinely don't know the numbers. It was just a thought that occurred to me during the course of this conversation, that we know there are places that require, and industries that require, high levels of security, that require physical access security to devices. Surely this now means that this upgrade surely makes the iPhone more appealing in a corporate environment to those people.
Yeah, definitely.
I would have thought.
And, well,
Face ID and stuff like that wasn't sufficient enough already.
That makes it also an interesting business move for Apple. Like, there's a whole load of people that simply cannot use what we're giving them because there needs to be physical, you know, you need to be able to use one of these keys and one of these physical devices, and iOS doesn't support it, so nobody can do that. No. So they can't use our stuff for their stuff, and we should fix that.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. So that absolutely makes sense. I'm also interested to see how much of that stuff starts getting utilized. Like, aside from being able to log into something in particular in Safari, I wonder if they're going to open up some of that, the way they've opened up the password managing stuff over time. If we're going to get a similar sort of password manage, like, security key, physical key, over time being able to be available to more and more apps. Like, maybe it won't work just within Safari. Maybe it'll start rolling out to other applications. So if you have some particular proprietary app that you need to use with your device, then the key will also unlock that as well, or something. Like, maybe there's a way to make that work. So that would be cool. If you have speculation on this, if you want to talk to us about subscriber numbers, if you really just want to chat about the morning show or possibly the Mandalorian, you can talk to us at observations@macobserver.com via email, if that's your jam. You can catch us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And I want to thank you, Charlotte, for being here today on Female Friday.
Have a very, very happy birthday, Kelly.
I will do my very best. I hope all the rest of you have a great weekend. I will talk to all of you on Monday. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.